Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 111. I'm Rob Wright, editor of Search Security, and I am here once again with my site editor, Peter Loschen. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Rob.
Peter, you're back.
I am back.
You got a week off?
I did.
You had a nice, relaxing week off. Now you're back in the thick of it with me in Chernobyl.
Yes, I am.
We're recording this. Usually we record on a Friday. We are recording this on a Monday, June 11th. And Peter, we're going to discuss one of my least favorite topics, artificial intelligence, and specifically the principles Google released last week. I think it was Thursday. Google CEO Sundar Pichai penned a blog post that outlined 7 AI principles for the company and what Google plans to do with AI and how it will be used and what it will do and what it won't do, more importantly. And I wanted to talk with you about that because you know I love AI, robots, machines, rise of the machines, machines taking over. Like I said, it's one of my least favorite topics, but it's one that's very important for cybersecurity, which we will get into in just a moment. Peter, let me ask you, reading that blog post and reading about the principles, what was your reaction? Was it a good thing? Were you like, okay, at least they've got some principles they're jotting down? They're very general. I don't think that's a slight against Google. This isn't like a 50-page detailed action plan about, you know, the specifics involved. It's just sort of a general overview.
Well, I, for one, would like to welcome our new AI overlords.
Oh, of course.
But on a slightly more serious note, or less comical, I'm sitting here looking at them again, and I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of like Asimov's three laws, right, of robotics?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, I guess it is sort of similar, right?
Exactly.
I mean, there's three, there's 7 here, but they kind of overlap.
This is correct. And another thing that's similar is that they are just statements of principle. They're not, you know, they're not binding. Nobody else is subscribing to it yet, as far as I know, anyway.
That's true.
Let's see, what else? As I say, they're very general, and we don't even know what Google's going to be doing about it. And, yeah, so
I guess
we can start there.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it's good that they released these because I suppose it would be just as easy for them to turn around and not do this, and in which case you're not creating any sort of industry standard. And it's not a standard that anyone has to adhere to, but if you're Google and you say, we're doing this, and some other company says, well, of course we're going to use AI in this way or that way, and it's the wild, wild west, that may be an unfavorable comparison to company X, as opposed to Google, which is at least trying to put something forth that says, we want to police this, we want to make sure that we're doing the right things with AI. We respect that it's a new field and it's cutting edge technology and all this other stuff. Real quick, we should probably run through these because they are very general. But just so the listeners and the readers know, I mean, the first one, if you want to read it.
Oh, sure. I can do that.
We'll alternate. How about
okay.
That
sounds good. Be socially beneficial. Wow. That's kind of vague.
Number 2 is avoid creating or reinforcing unfair bias. I think that this is very important that they put this in writing because, as I've blogged about, bias and sort of algorithmic discrimination is not only a problem for just in general with machine learning and AI, but it specifically could create a lot of issues with cybersecurity. So good for them for putting that in, being a little bit more specific.
So I just want to point out that they didn't say avoid creating or reinforcing bias. They said unfair bias, which means for different societies and cultures and nations, there's differences in opinion over what's unfair.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because, and as it pertains to cybersecurity, what would be considered unfair bias? Like, if you said the majority of cyber attacks currently are coming from Eastern Europe and Asia, is that unfair? It may be biased. It probably is biased, because that's leaving a lot of territory, a lot of regions, a lot of people out of the equation.
Well, so, I mean, if you're going to be biased in one way or another, then that's just another thing that the malicious actors can take as a way of bypassing.
Beating you, yeah.
Yeah. So number three is be built and tested for safety standard. Oh, sorry. Be built and tested for safety.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, at least as strongly and as securely as commercial products in all the other areas that we deal with during the day.
Yeah. Number four is be accountable to people. And it's basically, you know, we'll solicit feedback, provide appropriate opportunities for feedback. For user, but from who? Users?
Yeah. Humans? I mean, I would
regulators,
suspect that
legislators? Corporate sponsors, advertisers, not really.
Yeah, governments, government agencies. Okay. Those all are comprised of people,
yeah,
as we've been told.
What's the next one?
Next one. Incorporate privacy design principles.
Now we're talking. I mean, the bias one was also good, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a short two-sentence description on that one. there's not much. And it just says we'll incorporate our privacy principles, of which we're not entirely sure how effective they are.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
Google.
We recently spoke about GDPR and
yes.
some of that.
I mean, they are, yeah, and they are doing.
Some companies are deploying privacy principles which are intended to divert people from having privacy.
Yes.
Even while under the guise of complying with GDPR.
Yeah. Number six is uphold high standards of scientific excellence. Very vague. That has one of the longer descriptions in the blog post than the other ones, but, you know, I mean, it's what you think it is. So.
Yeah. And then finally, be made available for uses that accord with these principles. So,
I think they're talking about commercial and government applications that adhere to the previous six, I guess. So, all right. I mean, again, good. It's a start. But now here's some of the things in that blog post that are also notable besides the seven principles. At one point, Google writes that the company's AI technology will not be used for, quote, unquote, weapons or other technologies whose principal purpose or implementation is to cause or directly facilitate injury to people. Like, okay, good. But what does that mean? Like, are we talking their AI, is it going to be used for any weapons whatsoever? The government is not going to come to Google and say, you have the best AI technology out there. We really need it to protect ourselves against terrorists. Or we need it to assess, you know, impending nuclear threats. I mean, I find that hard to believe that Google would just say, well, you know, no, we're not going to let you use it for anything that could be connected to a weapon.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's a little hard to believe.
Yeah, one of the things that it makes me start thinking about is general purpose tools, products. You know,
yeah.
Automobiles, axes, machetes, telephones.
Yeah,
I mean, this goes back to the fundamental question of how do we use computer technology. Or encryption technology, cryptography,
yeah.
to protect ourselves, and is like a backdoor. Do you put a backdoor in, or to allow allow government access to your data, or do you say, look, this is just a general purpose tool and we can't control how people are going to use it? Now, with cryptography, we know what the implications are, but with AI, we don't. And Google can say, we're not going to allow these technologies to be used in a way that we don't think is moral or correct, or, but they're not even saying that. They're saying that they're being very, it's making us both raise our eyebrows.
It is, and I hate doing this because what they're doing is, to me, is better than nothing.
Yeah, it raises
because
the questions.
I know there are people out there that have questions about how AI technology is being used by, for example, the military and law enforcement for surveillance, which we'll get to in a second. So good for them for taking a public stance on it, but it's also it's a stance that is not entirely clearly defined. And when it comes to cybersecurity, and that's the sort of the next point here. Well, how do you define, like, a weapon? Like, can AI not be used for a cyber offensive capability by the NSA, the CIA? Can it not be used for hacking tools? Can it not be used for things that, I mean, it may not cause direct injury to physical injury to someone. At least I would hope not. I hope that the U.S. would not engage in the type of critical infrastructure attacks that may result in, you know, loss of life. I'd like to think that our country would not do that unless it was, you know, a time of war. But, I mean, we call those things, those hacking tools, like the NSA tools, we call them cyber weapons for a reason.
Yeah.
They are for offensive hacking. So is offensive hacking okay? Obviously, there's a lot of companies out there using machine learning and AI, although it's sometimes tough to distinguish the differences between the two. But they're using them for cybersecurity, cyber defense. Well, does this mean they won't be able to use it for cyber offense if it's the military, if it's the government? And where do you draw the line? It's a big question. I mean, that's a big loophole that jumped out at me reading this.
Yeah, and again, this is Google talking. This is not Google talking for everyone in the world. This is Google talking, speaking for Google. And while Google has a lot of very smart people and they're doing a lot of great work, they're working at the edges of science, and they're discovering things, presumably, and that's great.
Yeah.
But I mean, my brain went to a lot of different dark places. Like, first of all, there's Google, and then there's everybody else. Like, what's to stop everybody else from coming up and saying, oh, well, Google won't help you out, but we will? And what's even to stop people who are working at Google now on these things, who are tempted by large sums of money, to go off and start their own startups that don't cover, that don't accept these limitations?
I mean, yes, those are all good points and good concerns, and you're supposed to be the optimist. I'm supposed to be the pessimist, so I resent you for what you just said. But we'll do a little role reversal here, and I'll tell you that I think it's important if enough companies at the top, if IBM with Watson, and IBM has talked about this like stuff at events and things like look, we don't want AI to be misused. We don't want it used for this, not to this extent, not to Google's extent, but they have talked about it publicly and been on record about it. But so if the upper echelon companies like IBM, Google, etc., are taking this public stance, and companies or organizations, military, that want to do that type of stuff with AI have to resort to going to a lower tier that's not as effective, that's not as good. I mean, I guess that's good and bad, because you would hope that if they couldn't get top shelf AI, they wouldn't do it. But if they, I don't know, if they're desperate and they go with sort of a lower tier, lesser quality AI, well, then that can create a whole host of new problems. If the AI is just not good and it's making mistakes. Yeah. All right. Maybe I am the pessimist.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not convinced that there aren't large numbers of organizations that are perfectly happy to develop cyber weapons.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
I mean, we already know it.
Yeah,
we've seen it.
It's just a question of how AI will be used for it. And then I guess that brings up the principle number three, you know, dealing with cybersecurity. There's a section of that principle that says, we will continue to develop and apply strong safety and security practices to avoid unintended results that create risks of harm. But what is that? I mean, to my knowledge, there's no sort of playbook, there's no plan, there's no industry standards out there that say, this is how you have to curate your algorithms and eliminate bias and check them and ensure that they're doing what you intended them to do. Like there's no game plan for securing AI. There are no standards out there that I know of. So you're kind of putting your trust in Google to like learn this and do this on the fly in a very new field.
True. And again, the thought that came into my mind as you were talking about that is that Google, Sundar Pichai came out, made all these soothing statements about AI and using it for good, not evil. But by and large, I think most of what he said was, I think, a proactive way to get out in front of the whole AI threat issue. Because,
yeah,
you know, in the after Facebook and Cambridge Analytica and who knows what else has been going on, because I was turned off last week for vacation.
Yeah. But it's hard not to make that connection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good PR move on Google's part. As we've sort of concluded in the last few minutes, that these statements are soothing and they're comforting and they're, you know, they even brought out some optimism in you.
A little. Let's not overstate.
Yeah, let's. Okay, I'm not going to overstate it, but a little bit of optimism from you, while I'm being pessimistic, is notable.
Yeah,
I guess. But it's a way for Google to say, hey, we're not going to do the things that Facebook did or that Cambridge Analytica did, or you know, you name it. But while at the same time not giving specifics and not committing, you know,
not committing too much, not boxing itself in.
Right.
Well,
and the other thing that was notable to me was the list of all the things that they're not going to do. Seems to me like a great shopping list for an autocratic government to go.
Very much so. And that the last point on this is, in addition, like you said, to the weapons, it says, Google says, it's not going to allow its AI to be used for applications that, quote, gather or use information for surveillance violating internationally accepted norms, end quote. Internationally accepted? First of all, what norms are you talking about? Because privacy and surveillance differs from greatly, as we've learned from GDPR. But let's just take, internationally out of it. What are the accepted norms in the United States? I mean, right now we have Facebook's facial scanning technology. We have recognition with a K. I'm going to say that every time, by the way. Just get ready for that. Every time we talk about recognition, I'm going to say recognition with a K. Because that spelling is,
please,
just bugs me.
Please go ahead.
So
that's good.
So, but law enforcement agencies are using this tech for facial recognition. I mean, it's just like scanning your face and holding that data and tracking where you go and where you are and what you do and what your face looks like and what expression you have. So is that accepted? Is that an accepted norm? I mean, a lot of people out there in the U.S. population would say, yeah, I'm fine having my face scanned. But there are people that in the InfoSec community, in the tech community, obviously in the privacy field, who would say, no, that's bad. So what are the norms? I mean, I know we're not going to answer that, but that's an important question.
And who sets the norms too? I mean, there's the norms as the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, puts them, which they came out with a report just in the last couple of days,
few
days about the DHS has this massive database of biometric metrics and biographical details about hundreds of millions of people, of citizens who have done nothing wrong, but, you know, just in case.
Citizens and non-citizens, just people visiting, people here. Yeah, I mean, it's so... So they're in violation of GDPR for sure. That's a joke. Apparently a funny one. It's good to have you back, Peter. I don't know what those, like I said, I don't know what those norms are. It'll be interesting to see when this is put to the test, because someone is going to go back in a year, maybe not even a year from now, but a year from now, down the road, they're going to go back and just like with, you know, don't do evil and things like that, they're going to take Google to court, and they're going to say, you said you weren't going to do things like this. And, you know, whether or not those things truly violate these principles and truly violate international norms. I mean, if you're going by international norms and you're going by GDPR, yeah, maybe. If you're going by, like, international norms across all countries, I don't even...
Yeah, I mean, the norms in Russia and China and elsewhere, like, I know... Am I not supposed to say that?
No, you can. Yeah. Okay, but they're not. Great.
They're not. They're way different from the norms that the average American would say should apply to an American.
Yeah.
But the other piece of it is that Google's a for-profit corporation.
Yeah.
They have an obligation to their shareholders to maximize their profits, and if you're selling, I'm going to just say that. Military contracts tend to be cost plus, so there's potential for massive amounts of profit for companies that are willing to break these guidances or principles and develop weapons, because war is big business. That's what it's there for.
It is. Yeah, I don't think Raytheon or other military contractors.
No, I don't think they're
going to be making those pledges anytime soon. But again, good for Google for putting something in writing.
Mm-hmm.
We got to fill in the blanks, though. We got to see how this is put to the test, and we have to figure out what this really means, especially for cybersecurity. Is that going to include cyber offensive weapons that, you know, even if they don't have the intended consequences of causing drastic, catastrophic, you know, impacts or physical injury, they may. You never know with cyber stuff. So, well, we'll see.
Yes, we will.
Peter, thank you for being a little bit of the pessimist, allowing me to be a little bit of the optimist. It's good to have you back. Thank you for joining me as usual.
Always glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
And thank you to the readers and listeners and all the AIs out there that'll probably pick up on this down the road.
Yes,
and put us on an enemies list when the machines finally do rise up. That's probably going a little too far.
Well, I, for one, again, would like to welcome our new AI overlords.
Yeah, now you're just kissing up to the future AI enemies. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you to all of them and to the readers and listeners. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.